So I guess we are starting. Welcome, everybody. I'm very happy that you found your way to this workshop on privacy-enhancing technologies, which I think we all believe to be very important. I'm starting out to present the podium that you have in front of yourselves. Now, let me start at the very far end to my right. You see Roger Dingeldine. Roger Dingeldine is a very, very famous man in the area of privacy-enhancing technologies, certainly because he has founded and led the freehaven.net project at MIT. Roger will, in a second, explain to you or give you another overview of that project. And he calls himself a security expert. Last night he told me that he has evolved actually from a security philosopher to a security expert, which means when you have built a security system, only then you can call yourself an expert. And Roger's background, besides MIT and all those projects that he has been doing, has led him now to run a company or a small lab that's called Maria Research Labs, and that is founded by the DARPA, and there they deploy an anonymity system called Tor, which Roger will today present in more detail to you. Now, next to Roger, we have Enki Böhm. Enki Böhm is coming from Austria. Roger is coming from the US. Enki is coming to represent Quintessence here today. He will talk more about this association in Austria, which is very much concerned with security and privacy. Enki himself is currently working at the Vienna University and looking into quantum cryptography. But he has also a long history of experience, 14 years of software development, and he's concentrating in his work on application and communication security, doing a lot of consulting also, including the banking sector. Then we have Rena Tangens on this podium, and Rena is calling herself an artist and network pioneer. And I allow myself to call her a real hexe, because she has brought women to, I would say, to the community of security people in Germany, to the CCC, for example. And she's dedicating her life to maintaining privacy in the digital society. Doing so, she has done and run a lot of projects. And an important one is the public domain, which is it's a series of speeches she's organizing together with Padelun in Bielefeld, where they invite a lot of people in the field of information society. Some important things she has been doing include the publishment of a German manual on PGP encryption. And since 2000, she's giving the Big Brother Award, the German Big Brother Award, to companies, which is something like the bad guy award for companies surveying, and also the state agencies surveying citizens and consumers too much. And she's going to present this work and especially the last award concerning RFID technology. And then, very much to my right, I have Robert Guerra. Robert Guerra is a privacy advocate who has originally worked in the field of medical research, but who has then come to discover an important field, which is to work for human rights associations, and he's helping them as director of the organization Privatera to help NGOs protect their work in especially third world countries. Now, before these speakers, or perhaps I should introduce myself as well. My name is Sarah Spiekermann, and I'm a research fellow at the Humboldt University here in Berlin. doing quite a lot of research in consumer behavior and how people interact with technologies, also how they interact with privacy-enhancing technologies, why they sometimes don't use them, for example. Now, what I'd like to do is, before these speakers go up to present their work to you in more detail, perhaps present their most important projects or associations for which they stand. So perhaps I would start out with Roger. Perhaps you can give some background on freehaven.net, for example, and the other things you're doing.
Okay, hi. Is this mic working? Yes. Okay, I'm Roger Dingeldine. Sarah gave a brief introduction before. There are two projects I guess I should tell you about before we go into the details of how the technologies work and what options there are. One of them is the Free Haven project. It started in, I guess, 2000 at MIT, and the idea was to build an online electronic data haven where people could publish materials into it without revealing where they're coming from or what they're publishing, and read from it without revealing where they're coming from, and also participate in the infrastructure for free without being able to know what they're storing, and without observers being able to know what is being stored where. So it's a pretty challenging project to make all of that come together. And as I've been learning more about it, it's becoming more and more challenging to actually do all of it. So I've been taking a step back and been working on anonymous communications rather than anonymous publishing lately. And I'll be telling you about the Onion Routing or Tor system later on. So that's one project, the Free Haven project. There are a group of us around the world trying to work on technologies that will all come together to solve that problem one day. It'll probably be a couple of years from now, at least, that we get it all together. But hopefully one day we will. So the other project is the PET workshop, the Privacy Enhancing Technologies Workshop, which is a yearly gathering of all of the experts in anonymity and privacy around the world to talk about recent advances and their intuitions that they've been working on and ideas they've had recently and ways that they think the field should move forward. So it was just in Toronto last week, and it's going to be in Croatia at the end of May in 2005, which is not so far away, so I'll tell you a little bit more about that at the end. But I was the program chair for it last year and the year before that, and we have a group of experts from all around the world who are involved in it. And I'd be happy to talk more about that later on, but we'll go on to the next people.
Hello. Mic working? Okay. My name is Anki Böhm, and I come from Vienna, from Quintessence, which is a civil liberties union, and we are working in the field of data mining, analysis of biometric data, so we closely monitor what the US government is doing related to Homeland Security, Patriot Act, and so on. So we come from the field of information normally. And we are interdisciplinary in the sense that we have journalists, lawyers, technicians, and so on working on those things. And I joined this collective 2 years ago when I was interested in, I was coming from the security field, and I realized that security alone isn't quite important, that it's more important to put it into context, to see what it can do for people. And so I'm going to talk about PET strategy, or why no one uses PETs these days, why in the last 5 years, or rather in the last 10 years, not much has changed, both from a technological point of view, nor from an adoption point of view, and how in the near future we might have a chance to get PET technologies to the people.
Well, FUBUT started off as early as 87 with a series of events called public domain. Public domain in the double sense that it's open for everybody, and also it's a public affair, something we should care about. And out of this group meeting at public domain, FUBUT emerged, a club that has a very complicated name. I won't spell it to you now. but it's also called the Club of the Friendly Genius, and we also have a very interdisciplinary group of people, which is just fun to meet, and we meet every week, which is very important to exchange views and talk about projects and just do something. Apart from one of the projects that came out of public domain was a bulletin board system. So in the late 80s, we networked in Bielefeld, and not only there, we put up democratic independent networks. The one was we were in was called Cerberus, after the software. And this was not only running in Germany, but also during the war, we set up systems in former Yugoslavia, because the communication situation was that the telephone lines between Serbia and Croatia were blocked for political reasons, and the only way to get over it was to use international lines. International lines still worked, so we just routed the mails from Zagreb in Croatia via Bielefeld in Germany to Belgrade in Serbia, thus also breaking the, embargo, but we never got in trouble for that. But we had actually low-cost, low-tech systems running on DOS, very cheap computers on just very simple telephone lines with store and forward system in Yugoslavia. From managing such a networking knot, we found how important privacy is, or take the other view, how much power you get or how much knowledge you get about people when you are in charge, technically in charge of one of these knots. And this is why we took care of the Cerberus software, and we implemented encryption for the user mail. Before, it was quite usual to read, for the system operators to read the user's mail, and we prevented them from reading just by a software update of Cerberus, and we got several complaints afterwards from system operators that they were not able to read the mail anymore. But it's not enough to encrypt mail on the server. This is why we supported PGP, and we got very early in contact with the pretty good privacy scene, namely Philippe in Holland. And we wrote the first German manual on pretty good privacy, which was important because not so many people know enough English to use such privacy-enhancing technology if they don't have a German manual. And this manual was done without a big publisher, and we got to 12,000 copies. We actually sold 12,000 copies, and we had four editions of it that were updated several times. From PGP, we then moved to other measures, and we took up the Big Brother Awards in 2000, giving a negative award for something like worst practice. We call it worst practice for companies, also for politicians and other institutions, and we give it in different categories. I think since we have had so much press echo, and that it's also something like a watchdog organization that has to be regarded as some voice, like the German Minister for Health that wants to introduce a health card for all people in Germany, has been threatened. She has been threatened by the journalist that she might get a Big Brother award if she does this project already in advance. So it has some publicity right now. And about our latest big winner, the Metro company, who is not just Metro, the big retailer. They not just the wholesale, but they are also retailers in Germany. They own Real supermarket, Extra, Praktika, MediaMarkt, and Saturn. So they have a big share in the market. They are fifth biggest retail company, and they were the last main winner of the award. And I will talk about the RFID technology and the dangers and what we have been doing about it.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Robert Guerra. I'm from Toronto, Canada,
and I'm a dual Canadian Spanish citizen. In my capacity here, I'm a board member of Computer Professionals for Social Responsibility, but what I will talk to you about later today and at the workshop later as well today is my role as the managing director of Privatera. And so I'll be very brief to talk to you about what the organization is and get into more detail later. Privatera is an organization that was established in 2000, and we basically provide technological education, support, and training for civil society organizations, particularly human rights NGOs, to help them in the area of privacy and information security. Most of the work that we've done so far to date has been, it started in Central America, it's expanded to other parts of South America, and most recently, I'll talk about later some of the projects and show you some of the pictures of some of our work in Africa. And in 3 points, what we try to do is we try to help human rights organizations on strategic planning, procedures, technology, and training to make sure that when they make technology choices, that they know about the risks of the technology, both the human risks and the IT risks, and how they can plan to reduce those risks and what type of procedures they can put in, to focus on what security measures they might be able to put into place. But most importantly, what we try to do, and this is the one reason I want to give great thanks for the conference organizers to invite me to be on this panel, but also for you to be here, is we actually try, for a large part, to try to create linkages. We try to provide linkages to the development community that develop privacy-enhancing tools, to academics who do research in the tools, to people who are IT practitioners, and human rights organizations, and try to be the bridge so there's some sort of dialogue between all these organizations. So needs can be assessed, new tools can be found, but also what the state of current tools are. And so I'll stop with that and give the mic back to Sarah. So thank you.
Okay, now I have to press the red button. Okay. So this shouldn't happen. But anyways, I don't need the slide. I give a little introduction into privacy-enhancing technologies because I believe that we are going to hear a lot about technological approaches and the way technology is used. And what I believe is important for the audience is to have the big picture. Now, there are actually two different ways you can look at privacy-enhancing technologies. One is that you take a technical perspective, and here you think about issues in data storage. You talk about issues in how you can ensure communication, how you can ensure proper access rights, etc. So you have a pretty technical language. But you can also take a consumer, a user perspective. And from that perspective, you can actually identify two dimensions of where you, as a user, want to be protected. One area is that you want to protect your communication. And this communication can actually be a one-to-one communication. For example, when you send emails and you communicate with one other person, in that case, you use technologies like, for example, PGP, mail encryption technologies. But then there are other ways of how you can communicate, which is not one-to-one, but which is one-to-many. You might want to publish something, and you want to publish it anonymously. So in that case, here you see projects like freehaven.net, which allows you to anonymously publish and distribute documents. Then the other point of view is not that you communicate, but that you transact or you act. For example, when you go on the net and you surf there, you move there, you search for information. In this context, you can protect yourself using technologies like anonymizers, and we will hear quite a lot about anonymizers today in Roger Dingeldine's talk. There are different approaches to anonymizing these net transactions. For example, onion routing technologies, crowds, anonymizers. Projects that have been famous in Germany are, for example, the JAP Anon project. Roger will present the Tor project, which is very much interlinked with the JAP project already. Also, transacting does not only mean that you're only moving, searching, surfing anonymously, but it's also about paying anonymously. Now, you know that there are some approaches to pay anonymously, like DigiCash was one idea some years ago. Also, technologies that allow you to act or to at least decide to what extent you want to reveal your identity on the net are technologies like identity management systems in an easier and younger version, and technologies like P3P or cookie management systems. So this is the overview that I actually wanted to show you on the slides to give you a frame for today's talks. And before we actually delve into the details of those technologies, we want to create a sense of urgency. And this is going to be done by Robert Guerra, who is now coming on stage to present you the work he's doing in third world countries.